So we're reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, from the Adi Lila, chapter 8. Text number 17. Acharya Goshyare Sishya Chakravarti Sivananda Niravaditara Chitta Chitanya Nichananda. Translation. Among the disciples of Ananta Acharya was Sivananda Chakravarti, in whose heart dwelt constantly Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda. Ode jate vrindavane vaishya bhakta gane shesha lila shunite shabara ailamane. In Vrindavan, there were also many other great devotees, all of whom desired to hear the last pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. More agya karila shabe karuna kariya tasabare bale likhe nilaja haija. By their mercy, all these devotees ordered me to write of the last pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because of their order only, although I am shameless, I have attempted to write this Chaitanya Charitamrita purport. To write about the transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not an ordinary endeavor, unless one is empowered by the higher authorities or advanced devotees. One cannot write transcendental literature, for all such literature must be above suspicion, or in other words, it must have none of the defects of conditioned souls, namely mistakes, illusions, cheating and imperfect sense perceptions. The words of Krishna in the disciplic succession that carries the orders of Krishna are actually authoritative. To be empowered to write transcendental literature is a privilege in which a writer can take great pride. As a humble Vaishnava, Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami, being thus empowered, felt very much ashamed that it was he who was to narrate the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Srila Prabhupada is stating that it is because of this Chaitanya Charitamrita that our Sampradaya distinguishes itself from the other three bona fide sampradayas. Because it is in this Chaitanya Charitamrita that the science of devotional service in all mellows, in all different rasas, has been fully expounded. So in this way, it is quite amazing. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was way in his 90s. He was physically disabled. He was unable to see properly. He was not able to actually write. His hand was shaking. What to speak of his memory? His memory had been somehow or other weakened. Nonetheless, he did not just write the Shesha Lila, the final pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he also gave us the sharpest presentation of the Siddhanta of Krishna consciousness. He established Krishna consciousness. From this we can understand how Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was an empowered devotee. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur is defining empowerment to be a combination of the Ananda Shakti, of the and of the chit potency. He says when a devotee is empowered, he is empowered with transcendental knowledge and he is empowered with transcendental bliss. And this constitutes empowerment. In his Amrita Pravaha Bhasya, it is explained like that, which is the commentary that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote on this Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, the Chaitanya Charitamrita is in this way truly a mine of transcendental jewels, just as Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami had stated it. In each of the chapters, he begins the chapter with a poetic verse which summarizes the mood of that particular chapter. So in this chapter, we can quickly have a look. In this chapter he says, I offer my respects to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by whose desire I have become like a dancing dog, and although I'm a fool, I've suddenly taken to the writing of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So here we see the mood of the chapter being depicted in the entire Adi Lila. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami follows this procedure of stating the mood of the chapter. And here, the mood of the chapter is that I have become, by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I've become like a dancing dog. In other words, extraordinary, beyond the normal performance of a dog. A dog also indicating low position, no qualification, and yet, in spite of no qualification, dancing. And then again, further reiterating, although I am a fool, I've suddenly taken to the writing of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, this Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is revealed literature. We can understand that it is literature which has been directly revealed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it is considered the topmost literature. There are many other writings that give so much insight in the intimate relationship that exists between Krishna and his devotees in five rasas, and in particular in Madhurya Rasa, which is the most complex of all rasas to understand. Because in Madhurya Rasa, we have to, first of all, become free from mundane lusts before we can actually understand the intimate dealings of Radha and Krishna. Here in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the inner experience of extraordinary attachment that existed within the gopis of Vrindavan is being depicted, along with the great surrender in devotional service. Therefore, Gopi Bharta Pada Kamalayar Dasana Dasuna Das, we are understanding from this description that to simply become the humble servant of the servant, that is the essence. Just as we find the description of the coming about of Radha Kunt after Aristasura had been killed Srimati Radharani told Krishna that he should purify himself and go on a pilgrimage to all kinds of holy waters. And it is said that Krishna then said, I can take bath in all the holy waters. And he made a kund and invited all the holy waters to appear, who came to him in various deities' forms, and then Krishna took his bath. And subsequently said that Srimati Radharani was actually sinful, because after all she had been protecting Aristasura, who was a demon, and he was not a bull at all, he was a demon, and therefore she was contaminated and had to go to all the holy places of pilgrimage to take bath. But he didn't mind. She could take bath in his kund, which she refused. And then all the gopis broke their bangles and began to dig into the ground and made a kund like that, which was inconceivable. Right? Compared to Krishna, who simply made that kund so easily. For him it was a playful thing. A hole in the ground just with his heel was made in a matter of moments. But the gopis, they dug out a huge hole with their bangles. Even if we would have a marathon, right, with the whole yatra, and we would get shovels, right, we would consider it like, forget this, this is insane, right? We want like a machine, you know. We want something, you know, this is beyond us, isn't it? So the gopis were doing it with their bangles. And then when they finally dug, so Krishna must have been getting quite impatient. Yeah? But they were very determined to do it, so there was nothing he could do about it. They were ready. And then, as Krishna was seeing that, okay, it was finished, then they made a human chain. A human chain, and were intending to bring water by buckets. So Krishna was in his mind calculating, this is going to take forever. And since he had told Srimati Radharani that she could not associate with him anymore until she was purified, he decided to do something about it. And he arranged that all the deities of the holy waters came before Srimati Radharani and begged to be accepted. And they fell at her feet. And since she was a merciful devotee, how could she refuse? Because when someone falls at the feet of a Vaishnava, how long can that Vaishnava refuse? Maybe for some time, to test the sincerity of the person who falls at the feet, because falling at the feet means more than a physical exercise. It must actually be a symptom of surrender. It's not enough to fall at the feet and then not surrender at all. Then it is just show bottle or lip service. That is not at all appreciated. In the Madhya Lila chapter 19, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is instructing Srila Rupa Goswami, the first thing he says is that the majority of people is actually not following any scripture. It said, and then of those who follow some scripture, very few are following bona fide scripture. And of those who are following bona fide scripture, the Vedic literature, the majority is simply rendering lip service. So it is a fact that just as the disciple of Ananta Acharya had Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda always in his heart, we also have to have Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, and our spiritual master in our heart, and always think of how we can act in such a way that all the previous acharyas and our spiritual master and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, along with the entire Panchatattva, will become melted by our service. The nature of devotional service is that It melts the heart of superiors. It melts the heart of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this process of melting the heart is the process through which we get the mercy. Mercy depends on genuinely invoking respect in the hearts of senior Vaishnavas and of the Supreme Lord. When they actually see how much we are endeavoring, then mercy will come. And this is Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami had shown to be extraordinary. The amazing thing is that he was asked to write the final pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. However, he wasn't even there. It should be understood that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was not even there at the time when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was on the planet, that he came after, and that he missed the whole thing. He missed the entire pastime. But he had heard from Raghunath Das Goswami. And by having heard from Raghunath Das Goswami, Krishnadas Kaviraj was able to write. He had access to the diary, the Kadacha of Raghunath Das. There is and the Kadacha or diary of Swarup Damodar Goswami, who was the secretary of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in this way, he was able to take on this this incredible task. But it is clear that he was not merely writing on the basis of a kadacha. He was faithfully depicting what he had heard. But in the way he was depicting it, he was, in his own words, he was able to capture, to perfectly capture the mood of the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Siddhanta in the Chaitanya Charitamrita comes in two aspects. It comes just in the instructions that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or his representatives are giving, and it also comes in the dealings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his particular pastimes. Because each of the pastimes is very, very rich in instruction. And in each of these pastimes, he is displaying his transcendental nature. Sometimes it is thought that the Adilila, which is the first beginning of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life and pastimes, is describing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was not fully manifesting his devotional service yet, because at that time he was covered. Then, in the Madhya Lila, it is sometimes called the Acharya Lila. This is the Lila where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to preach as a sannyasi. The Adi Lila deals with childhood pastimes and the Grihastha pastimes. Then at age 24, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu takes sannyas, and then we get the Madhya Lila. And in the Antya Lila, the Shesha Lila, this is the same as Antya Lila, the final pastimes. Shesha Lila means the final pastimes. In the final pastimes, we see how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is more entering into an internal state. Whereas in the Adi Lila, he is first acting as Nimai Pandit and secretly displaying his ecstasies by sometimes crashing to the ground, and everyone thinks he has some epileptic problems, although he is actually falling on the ground in great ecstatic ecstasy. And then he goes to Gaya, and then after his father has left his body, and then he comes back as a very ecstatic devotee. And he begins to serve all the Vaishnavas. And everyone is saying, oh, Nimai Pandit has become a devotee. And they allow him to render some service to them so that he can make some advancement. But very soon, Nimai reveals his eternal identity to devotees in the house of Srivas, who from then on are aware that they're dealing with the Supreme Lord. Then they preach everywhere, and sometimes Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is alone in South India, and we see that he makes devotees left and right. We see that he is bringing so many people to Krishna consciousness. But then when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes to Puri, it seems he goes into the deepest internal modes of ecstasy. And at that point, it seems that now he is no longer acting as a preacher, but that he is acting more absorbed in his own internal bhajan. Still, the reader of the Chaitanya Charitamrita can appreciate that actually these pastimes, these internal pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, where he is in the Gambira, his room in Jagannath Puri, which is a room with thick walls in the house of Kasi Misra, and which practically has no windows, only small, in that room, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu resided, and it is said that at night he got so overwhelmed by ecstasy he wanted to go out of the building, but he was locked in the room. And it said the whole night he was looking for the door, and he scrubbed his face on the wall and injured it in that way. And it was so bad that the devotees couldn't tolerate it anymore, and they appointed one devotee named Sankar Pandit to become the pillow of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Namely, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would take rest on the lap of Sankar Pandit. And he was known as the pillow of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that as soon as Mahaprabhu would wake up, Sankar Pandit would also wake up and grab the Lord and hold him down and try to calm him down. In this way, the ecstasies of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were just extraordinary. And even today in Jagannath Puri, we see a statue of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on the beachfront, where he is in the mood of running. Because when he was in Puri and he saw the sand dunes, he took them for Govardhan Hill and he just ran after them. So in Puri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was displaying his ecstasy and was totally absorbed in his own remembrance of Krishna. Still, we should understand the very fact that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu displayed this kind of ecstasy in the material world is also preaching. Therefore, the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are all preaching and are all displaying how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is kindly distributing his mercy in this world to help the conditioned souls to gradually uplift themselves, to become liberated souls, and to become qualified and eligible to go to the spiritual world. So the Chaitanya Charitamrita offers us the full understanding of what devotional service really is and how it is to be performed. Therefore, it's a very important book. It's known as postgraduate literature. And it is stated that we should first read from Bhagavad Gita, Nectar of Devotion, Srimad Bhagavatam, and then go to the Chaitanya Charitamrita as the postgraduate literature. So sometimes devotees think, oh, I haven't even finished Bhagavatam, so I cannot read the Chaitanya Charitamrita. That's postgraduate. But that's not a fact. Prabhupada also said that his books, he said, were just like sugar dolls, you know, like lollies or like that. What it is sweet on all sides, he said. Sweet on all sides. So, therefore, we must also read the Chaitanya Charitamrita. We must understand who Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, because after all, he is the Yuga Avatar, and this movement is predominating by the mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And if we don't understand the mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then we're missing out something. For example, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we're dealing with personalities who are just somewhere almost mythological. Not in the sense that they are not real. They are very real. So, as I said, almost mythological. Which means that they are performing activities which are superhuman. Bhishma Dev is lying on a bed of arrows, pierced by unlimited arrows, or by many, many arrows. And he's lying there, and he's totally composed and calm and clear in his mind, and he's able to give relevant transcendental instruction. Right. I mean, where's the question? Right? A little injury we have, and poof, it's a big thing. Yeah. Big thing. And if we have a serious injury, we cannot even talk. Right? I mean, we can hardly breathe. Right? We cannot even move. Right? So, it's difficult to understand such personalities, these kshatriyas, what they could do. Biba has the strength of 10,000 men. 10,000 men. Yeah? It's like inconceivable. How can anybody have the strength of 10,000 men? You know, we don't even have the strength of one man. We have the strength of half a man, or a quarter, or 10%. Right? 10,000 men. Inconceivable. Right? So sometimes the personalities in the Bhagavatam, they are just legendary, extraordinary, and the things they have. Draupadi has a plate which produces unlimited prasadam. Right? I mean, we have to work hard for the Sunday feast to feed a few people. It's a big deal. But Draupadi, she can just easily take care of hundreds and thousands of people and feed them without any difficulty from her little plate. So what can we understand from their world and their activities? But when we see the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are like us. Whereas the Pandavas, they were royalty. Right? They were princes. They were living in palace. They were living in the Vedic culture. And although we spend our whole life talking about the Vedic culture, we don't even know what it is. I mean, we have no idea what Vedic culture really is. Nobody knows. But we talk about it as if that's our way of life. So, the era of the Pandavas is mystic and difficult to understand. But the essence is not the external ways that they lived. The essence is their pure devotion to Krishna. And that we can understand very clearly from Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, the Pandavas are also our perfect examples. Right? But still difficult to completely follow as a role model. Although we can follow their mood of surrender. But then for a more social model, we see the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is much closer to us. There are brahmacharis, there are grihasthas, and they're interacting. There are vanaprasthas, and there are sannyasis, and we see how the intricate dealings are there amongst them. And that is very, very interesting and very instructive. And therefore, the Chaitanya Charitamrita is instructive both in the direct philosophical instructions as well as in the pastimes where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is actually teaching. Because Bhakta Rupa, the teacher by example, that means teaching through pastimes. teaching by showing it to us, because Prabhupada gives that example that when in the Vedic times, if some girl would get married, then she would move to the house of her in-laws. She would join her husband, and they were all joint families. They would all live in a big house, and the girl would move into the house of her husband. So it said, if some mother wanted to teach her daughter-in-law, right, she would, and correct her, she wouldn't do it directly, because it's sensitive, after all, was not her real daughter, so it's always a little sensitive, the mother-in-laws. There are many mother-in-law jokes in the world, and so on. So, in Vedic times, the mother-in-law would teach her own daughter and correct her own daughter in front of the daughter-in-law, so that the daughter-in-law could see like that. So we are learning from all these role models. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, along with his eternally liberated associates, is acting out the perfect standard of Krishna consciousness. And we see it right in front of our eyes. And in that way, we can actually see how personalities who are deeply absorbed in true bhakti, in real love of God, in real devotional service, how they act, how they speak, how they sleep, how they eat, how they are experiencing different emotions, how they are expressing themselves, and how they interact. We can see all these things. And from this, we can understand so much about spiritual life. Therefore, although it is the postgraduate study, we should read it. Not exclusively. When it says that we should progressively go through the books one by one, it means in studying them. There is two things. One is systematically studying Srila Prabhupada's books, and the other one is reading Srila Prabhupada's books. So we must systematically study Bhagavad Gita from beginning to end. Then we must systematically study Srimad Bhagavatam from beginning to end, sort of side by side with the nectar of devotion. And then we should systematically study the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. But even while we are just in the process of systematically studying Bhagavad Gita, we can already sometimes do some reading in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And other times we read in Prabhupada Lilamrita, which is also transcendental scripture. And in other times we read Bhagavatam. But our focus will be to study the Bhagavad Gita systematically. So that's the idea. We systematically go through the various scriptures, but we can read a bit here and a bit there in all of them. Therefore, it is very valuable to one day a week dedicate to discussing Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Because it gives the same knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam. This Chaitanya Charitamrita is an expansion of Srimad Bhagavatam. If we look at the Chaitanya Charitamrita and we do a count of the various verses that are being quoted, then we see that, for example, Bhagavad Gita is maybe quoted 40 times. We see that the Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, is maybe quoted something like that. Other scriptures, even less. But Srimad Bhagavatam is quoted 350 times in the verses. We also see that Srimad Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is regularly presenting Srimad Bhagavatam as proof. For example, the second chapter of Adi Lila, which is dedicated to establish that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is proven by the famous verse from Bhagavatam, Ete cham sakala pumsam krishnas tu bhagavan swayam indrari vyakalam lokam niryanti yuge yuge. So the proof is given from Bhagavatam. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is actually defeating the disciples of Prakashananda Saraswati Thakur Prakashananda Saraswati in Benares, right, who are all Mayavadis, then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is defeating that Mayavad on the basis of Srimad Bhagavatam as the main scripture from which he's quoting. He's also quoting something from Vishnu Purana, but the main source of arguments is Srimad Bhagavatam. So throughout the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srimad Bhagavatam is presented as essential proof, and that is a fact. Therefore, the Chaitanya Charitamrita is repeating the same conclusions as Srimad Bhagavatam. However, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has a way of condensing many points, or he has a way of making the points very strong, very strong. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is the book where the Siddhanta, the conclusion of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, is fine-tuned and is presented in a very condensed, crystal clear vision. So therefore it is very important for every preacher who needs ammunition, it is important to absorb the conclusions of Srimad Bhagavatam. So we say, yeah, well, you know, the conclusions of Chaitanya Charitamrita. We may say, well, but there's so much to read. That's a fact. So we must really read, somehow or other, we must really, really take time, make time to read, thoroughly read Srila Prabhupada's books. That is essential. It is this hearing that adds new life. This hearing adds freshness to our spiritual life. Because our chanting is not pure. Chanting is the means of liberation, the means of perfection, the perfect process to get love of Godhead. But our chanting is not pure. And therefore our offensive chanting is not producing much taste and knowledge. But if we are then reading Srimad Bhagavatam, or if we are reading Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, then immediately our horizons are broadened and we are lifted from our normal, narrow-minded material consciousness, our small-time consciousness, as is described, Ksudratma and Mahatma. Ksudratma is that personality who is very attached to the material energy and as a result becomes obsessed by some material conditions, either by the positive side of it or by the negative side of it. And just his mind focuses around these material conditions, therefore he becomes small-minded. But a Vaishnava becomes Udaradi, broader intelligence, and begins to see that actually the only thing that's really important is our eternal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And all other relationships are valuable in relationship to that relationship with the Supreme Lord. It's not that devotees only have a relationship with the Supreme Lord and don't care about the devotees, and that we are all living in the temple, each being so deeply involved in our own relationship with Krishna and not caring about any devotees, and that we are a bunch of impersonalists living together in a temple where we don't even bother to about our individual relationships, well-being, and so on. Now, our individual relationships amongst Vaishnavas are very important because one must go to Krishna through a Vaishnava. Through the Vaishnavas only can one go to Krishna. So therefore, the relationship with the Vaishnavas is not only a side benefit, it is essential to developing love of God. Without such Vaishnava relationships, there is no love of God. And we may say that the Chaitanya Charitamrita in particular, right, it gives us the deepest understanding of sadachar, of the exchanges that exist between the Vaishnavas and the Vaishnava relationships. And therefore, we can learn very much how to deal with Vaishnavas, and this is what ought to be done. The essence which we are getting is that there are very loving dealings, that Vaishnavas care also for each other's physical sorrows. Although we are transcendental, and although we are not the body, we don't preach in a hard way, you know. If someone breaks his arm, you don't say, "Yeah, you're not the body," kind of thing approach, right? Not that heart insensitive mood towards others' physical or mental pains, others' anxieties, and laugh at each other, but rather an accommodating mood of taking everyone seriously. Not like male chauvinism, and that men say, these women, they're so emotional, right? They make avarambha lagu kriya, a storm in a glass of water. They make a big thing out of nothing. Right? One can say like that, or the other way, you know, men are cold, have no emotions, right? And all these kind of varieties of insensitivity, or also in general, among so many Vaishnavas, so much insensitivity. Managers who are concerned with efficiency, who are somehow or other not able to accept the people that are not able to work efficiently. But this is a movement which is, on the one hand, has a huge agenda, a lot of work to do. So we have centers to run, we have many things to do, we have offices, we have systems, we have rosters, and we need organization above all, otherwise how can we get anything done? And then we have individuals who come to this movement for shelter, who don't come for this movement necessarily because they are capable people who can make valuable contributions, but they come simply for shelter of the Supreme Lord in devotional service. And maybe some of them are not very capable, and then we get these dilemmas. And the manager has a very difficult role, because the manager has to somehow or other get the work done and yet give shelter to the devotees. And sometimes the tendency may be to go for efficiency and to do what is reasonable. I also was many years manager, temple president, and so many other things. And I used to think that I should be reasonable. I used to think that I was a good manager if I was very reasonable, and if I would really try to listen to people's situations and then make a reasonable judgment based on scriptural standards and so on. Right? And I tried to manage like that. But I had a lot of difficulty. A lot of difficulty with devotees because they didn't want to be reasonable. Right? Many devotees didn't want to be reasonable at all. Some devotees wanted to be outright unreasonable. And it wasn't just my standard of what was reasonable and so on versus their idea of what was reasonable. Now, I mean, anyone, you know, like a whole group of leaders would agree that, like, they would go beyond the reasonable standard. Yeah? So if somebody was behaving totally unreasonable, then what to do? Then, you know, at one point, you come to the point, you start to give warnings. And now, you know, you have to adjust, right? I'm giving you a nice warning, but you have to adjust the standard. Right? You can't go on like this, you know. And then you give a few warnings, and then you say, well, now we have given a few warnings, now it's getting more and more serious. If you go on and on like this, maybe it's better if we look for some other solution for your Krishna consciousness. Maybe you're just not the type to be a temple devotee, and maybe we should look for a way to accommodate you in a more private situation. And then you get to that, right? So these kind of dynamics were going on, all based on the principle of fairness and being reasonable. But in spite of trying all that, in the end, I generated a lot of opposition in certain people. And some people went quite far in expressing that opposition, and even got physical, to a point where I was thinking that it was no longer reasonable. Because after they got physical, in kind of a surprise way, I was thinking, why didn't you guys just talk to me? I really thought, why didn't you just talk to me? You could have talked to me. You could have tried to talk to me. You didn't even try to talk to me. Why didn't you try to talk to me? So I thought it was unreasonable. But then later, I thought about it deeply. And I realized that actually this concept of leadership doesn't work. That this concept of what is reasonable doesn't work, because people, they come for shelter to this movement. And shelter must be given somehow or other. Whether they are reasonable or unreasonable, whether they are normal or whether they're eccentric, somehow or other, we have to find shelter. And therefore, my mood changed. And these days, I try to not look so much at who is reasonably right and who is wrong. These days, trying to leave no one dissatisfied, which is another principle. It's another approach. It's an approach to somehow accommodate. And as I tried, I realized that actually is what you see in India. Right? The Indian mood is more like that, you know, to somehow or other accommodate, to leave no one dissatisfied. And this was like a revelation, something I'd never thought of, right? Because in this part of the world, life is not like that. Here, you know, you're supposed to be reasonable. Right? And if you're not reasonable, we'll give you a few chances. And if you get too unreasonable, well, you know, too bad for you, right? But you know, we're not going to waste our time with you, right? And but amongst Vaishnavas, Every Vaishnava is a very valuable personality. And every Vaishnava, somehow or other, needs mercy. So, whatever we do, we have to somehow or other be tolerant in accepting the Vaishnavas. Of course, we do not have to let everyone in the temple. Prabhupada made it clear, this is not a place for lazies and crazies. That's another matter. But once they're in, what are we going to do? Boot them out? Too many people have been wearing boots in ISKCON, right? Too many boots over the years. And what can I say? It was a little... It hurt the hearts of many, all these boots. So we do need some leaders who are kind and merciful and who put, who somehow or other give shelter. Because what can be expected? We are, after all, residents of the age of Kali, and therefore it's not surprising if we are not perfect models. And it's not surprising if we don't come up to the standards of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Nonetheless, we should try. I think now I've bombarded you with so many points that you must get like information overload. So I think I should stop. Because the brain can only handle so much. So are there any questions or comments? Then maybe we can have like 10 minutes of discussion.
You said that in the Shesha
Lila,
what Chaitanya is expressing more of an internal mode. So what should we learn about that?
When we see in the Antya-lila, generally we call it Antya-lila, sometimes Sesha-lila, but generally in the Antya-lila, we find a description of Lord Chaitanya, how his devotion for the Supreme Lord is just extraordinary. How it's just never casual, not even just enthusiastic, that he's beyond, you know, being a very enthusiastic, that he's beyond being a very determined, that he's beyond being a very serious devotee, that he just takes it to another dimension. Generally, any devotee that follows everything very nicely is very enthusiastic, very determined, and humble, and so on. It's like, we consider him very, very advanced. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu shows what advanced really was by being so overwhelmed, so attached to Krishna, so incredibly attached to Krishna in devotional service that there's no match. And it said that all the transformations took place in his body, and it is said that love of God may manifest in a smoking stage, just like a fire that is almost out, but there's smoke. It said at that stage, the devotee can still hide his love of God. Then it said it comes out in the glowing stage to the flaming stage, and there are 8 stages mentioned, which I can't remember all. But the final one is Sudipta, the intensely blazing stage, where the bhakti, the devotion for the Supreme Lord, is just like erupting. It's just erupting. It is just pouring out of the heart, erupting from the heart. And this is actually what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's type of mood was in the Antya-lila, that Everyone was just amazed when he was dancing in Ratiyatra. Everyone was just amazed to see such ecstasy. I mean, there was, just like sometimes someone starts jumping in happiness, right? No longer studied movements, right? No rehearsed steps, nothing, just spontaneous dancing in as an expression of great happiness. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dancing was like that. There was no question that there was a moment that it was that he was thinking, you know, how does it look, or what shall I do, or anything like that. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was just throwing himself in the air, right? And just coming back down and throwing himself in each time in jubilance, in great jubilance. So it really takes, the Antya Lila takes devotional service beyond anything we could ever imagine. And then the symptoms are extraordinary. When his limbs all go into his body and he becomes like a big ball, that's pretty amazing. So what can we say? It's incredible. Incredible. The intensity of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstasy. Only Srimati Radharani's ecstasy can compare. No one else had ever displayed such level of ecstasy. So, actually through Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we can understand a lot about Srimati Radharani. If you want to understand Srimati Radharani, you look at Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's internal mood. Then you can actually understand Srimati Radharani. Directly, you cannot understand Srimati Radharani. As Narottama Thakur says, we enter into the past, into the ocean of the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and emerge in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. These are some of the points. Anyone else? No. Okay, we'll stop. Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.